Hello and welcome back to another episode of Triple Hop Session Series. My name's Charlie. You can find me on Instagram at CharlieAiling1 or at CraftCanGang.
I'm Ryan. You can find me on Instagram underneath the Bearded Beer Block.
So this episode is a little bit different to our normal episodes, but very familiar if you're deep in the back catalogue of Triple Hopped, because miraculously, Ryan and I have a few of the same beers, so we thought we'd bring back the old Triple Hopped format from back in the day and do a bit of a Friday evening review of a couple of things live on the air.
Yeah, sounds good. I think it was just like, we just thought we'd get a quick one in, didn't we? And it's actually quite a nice day, I don't know what it's like down there, but we've got blue skies and sun, weirdly.
Yeah, I was sat outside until about half an hour ago.
Yeah. So
genuinely, like the last of the summer sun just kind of eking its way out.
I'm actually taking a beer shot outside.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Ryan, I believe you're way more prepared than me, and you've got some notes on the first of the beers that we're going to be talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I'll kick you off and you can do the next one. But yeah, just so obviously you bought some beers this week, and I was like, oh, I've got them coming. So I was like, why don't we just do an episode? So we're starting off, we've got a beer from Whiplash, based over in Ireland. And this is a collab with a familiar name from New York, Brooklyn, New York, is Finback.
Yeah. Now,
I bought this, and I bought it just purely because it's a Finback collab, and I didn't even look what the style was.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. And then after I ordered it, I went and looked on Untappd after. I was like, it's called Witness, and it's a dry hopped pills. It's 5.5%, and it's double dry hopped with Columbus and Equinox.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I bought this without realizing the style as well. I saw the two names and I thought it doesn't really matter what it is. No, it's going to be good.
I mean, you know, instinctively I just thought, oh, it'll be an. I didn't even really look, and I was like, I saw the ABV, so I was like, oh, it's just an IPA, a pale or an IPA. And then when I actually opened the box and I kind of looked as well, I was like, oh, it's a lager. And I was like, fair enough. And they've done two at the same time because they've just released, Whiplash have also released a beer with Don Zirkle as well called Only When I Sleep. So they've done Witness and Only When I Sleep. It's like a double collab release.
You know that's going to be good as well.
Yeah, I've got that as well. I knew that was a lager. I didn't even have to look. You know,
yeah, Don Zirkle.
I think it's an American light lager, I think.
Interesting. Okay. So,
they take on something like Budweiser or Miller.
Like Gucci Coors Light.
Yeah. I mean, have you tasted this yet?
Yes.
Yeah, I've just had a mouthful. And I don't know if you're the same. It doesn't instantly hit me like a lager. It actually has the kind of feel of an IPA.
It tastes like Pliny.
Yeah, it's got that kind of, like, very, I don't really know. It's very good. I'm not saying it's very, very good.
There's a caramelized piney thing to it. It's not massively bitter, but it is a little bit resinous.
Yeah,
but it's like a West Coast IPA.
See what you mean? There is that kind of like West Coast kind of, it's there.
I mean, there's no lager on the nose.
No, I think if you were going to give that to someone and didn't tell them that was pills, I don't think
Like there's the tiniest bready note on the back, like a little tiny bit that gives you a bit of a hint.
Yeah.
But I think in a blind tasting, I'd really struggle to pick that out as a lager, honestly.
Yeah. I don't know if Whiplash, I know Lewis Horn is like one of the brewers, and he might listen to this because I did tell him that we were doing this, and I don't know what he'll say on the back of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's fantastic. Like, don't get me wrong, that's fantastic. It's, I don't know. I think our blind tasting, would you pick that up as pills?
Did you say they double dry hopped it or just single dry hopped it?
It's single dry hopped, looking on the can.
I mean, it must have been a heavy load of hopping in it.
I mean, it tastes fantastic.
It's really good.
Yeah. And then, like, on another note, I mean, one of those things I think we were discussing kind of offline the other day, we were on about like tied hands and canna, weren't we? And I was just like,
the canna on this is glorious. Like, I love this.
Whiplash knock it out of the park with that canna, don't they? I mean, it's one of those beers where, and I think this is like a bottle shop kind of scenario where you walk in and you don't even need to look what the can is. You know what the brewery is. You know, there's a few out there that are very
Colonel.
Yeah, well, obviously, yeah, Colonel. And then like Overton and Whiplash stand out by
Black Iris.
Yeah, Black Iris. Yeah, 100%. You know, but yeah, with Whiplash, bright white can, bold lettering, and then just a cool, crazy like.
This is one of my favorites from them, honestly, art wise. And the texture of their labels, have you noticed that?
Yeah, it's very smart, isn't it?
It feels like it's built for grip.
Yeah, it's a proper premium product, though, isn't it? And then. But I think this is like one out of the pack. Like, I do want to expect Whiplash to probably do a collab with Finback. I don't know if this is off the back. It must be off the back of a festival and get to work together. But yeah, it's a good. Like, what would you use this on Untappd? Like, on what you've had? I know you're a big Untappd lover, unlike me.
I am, and I'm also now a big lager lover. So, like, I suppose you think about it in a few ways, don't you? It's like, is it true to style in terms of a pils? Not necessarily.
No.
But if you take away what you assume to be correct about a product or a style or a category, like, you know, all things considered, do I just enjoy it? 100%. It's great. Like, I could nail pints of that and be so happy. There's no rough edges on it at all.
No, not one.
The hops counteract the sweetness that normally gets me if I do too many lagers in a row. But there's not the degree of bitterness that you'd struggle to make this pintable. You know, it's a 4.1 maybe.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're an Untappd supporter and you've got the 0.1 categorization,
it is very it's 5.5%. But if, like you just said, if I was sat with friends and, you know, you were out in the pub and you were drinking that all night, it's not one of them where you'd just be like, yeah, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, the first one or two, you'd be like, oh, that's interesting. That's really hoppy for a pilsner. But then pint two or pint three, four, five, you'd just be like, get it down me. Not interested in being analytical anymore.
No, it's flying down anyway. But if you go back, it is double dry hopped.
It is. Okay.
It's on the can, but on Untappd, it's double dry hopped. Yeah.
Got it. Have you ever had a lager from Whiplash before?
I don't think I have. I mean, I was
going to. I haven't.
I was going to ask you this before, like, and I was thinking that I think with Whiplash, I usually just go with the pails and IPAs because you just know what you're getting, the quality of beer. And
yeah. The few things you can guarantee with Whiplash. One, great can art. Two, texture on the can that makes you want to pick it up multiple times. Three, an Untappd score that does not in any way relate to how good the quality of the beer is. They are consistently, I would say, in the top three most underrated breweries in Europe.
Oh, 100%. I think this is like one of my arguments, and this is like why we still need to do this episode at one point about Untappd. Well, I mean, like, I can't grade my purchase of a beer on that. I mean, this is carrying a 3.8, and I think, like, in my personal opinion, Untappd should be at 10. And 3.8 is nearly, it's close enough to 8 out of 10, which in the world is...
Oh, yeah. I mean, 80% of university, that's a big first.
Exactly. But then people see something under 4 and go, But I think 3.8 for a lager is big anyway. I mean, lagers, and in the craft scene especially, tend to get scored down. And I think that, I don't know why that is. I think it's just because, I have no idea, actually. I don't even know. I can't even answer my own question.
So a few people have spoken about this. There are a few really good videos on it. There's a good craft beer channel one. I know I shout them out a lot, but I think the name of the video is the problem with Untappd. And it compares Untappd to something like Rate Beer or Beer Advocate. And in those things, I think it's Beer Advocate, you have this. You have a rating, which is an absolute rating. So you think of that like your Untappd score. So there's 3.8 out of 5. But then you have a rating within style. So it accounts for the fact that lagers tend to get lower ratings, imperial stouts tend to get higher ratings. So it looks at all of the lager ratings and says, is this in like the top 10% of lagers or, you know, the 80th percentile or whatever? And it gives it like a weighted score within the style. And I think Untappd would really benefit from that personally.
Yeah, me too. I think it's very, very misleading sometimes. Like, I've had it where I've gone, you know, you pick up a beer and I've looked on Untappd afterwards and I've gone, And then I have it and I go, yeah, I don't understand. And there's also the problem, I know we've kind of drifted off a bit here, but this is probably we should use another time. But also the people who go on, who will pick a beer up from a tap room and it might and it's not the style they enjoy. So they might get like, you know, they might get a Trappist beer, like me personally. But if it was me, I'm weird. But someone who has like a sour, they're not a sour beer before, and they have it and they give it like a one, and they're like, they're trashed the scar. And it's like, but you don't like it because you don't like the style. It's not the actual beer that's an issue.
Yeah, that's not on the brewer. That's on you.
That's it. But then I think that's where it becomes a bit of a fault with the app. I don't know. I just wish it Untapped as well could be quite clever, but the dirt, they could become the new Instagram in the beer world. If they let you not have to be friends, if you could just comment on everything, it'd be World War III on there. It'd be brilliant.
Oh, yeah. I think they're a bit afraid of that, to be honest. But, yeah, I don't know. There's a lot that I love about it. But I suppose the takeaway from this is, do you agree that Whiplash are consistently underrated?
The 100%. I mean, you know, there's some of those beers out there that you have. And I mean, there was like Drone Logic, one of the first beers I had.
Yeah. There. Was that all Simcoe?
All Simcoe, double. Yeah, that, how good is your
name? Did that on a sink drink. Well, because we synced that one.
Really?
Yeah.
That was good. And then I think there was like Surrender to the Void as well.
That was good. And Let It Happen, the All Citra that they've just bought out again.
Yeah, very good. And then one of the last ones I had was a remake, and it was Shades of Marble, and that was Galaxy with Lemon Drop.
Oh, hello. Yeah, that sounds good.
Really good. But I think they're in that world, they're in that bubble of that they just don't need to create hype. And I think they're just, it's a weird world. And we've spoken about it before, the market's so saturated now that it's so difficult to keep up with everything. But I totally agree. Like the Whiplash are in that group of, you know, totally underrated beer, like breweries, totally underrated.
I mean, they're someone that I buy from routinely. Yeah, I make a point of it. I really do. And this is just an example of their flexibility. I've not had anything dark from them. That'll be interesting. But now I know they can nail the hazy stuff and the crispy stuff. I'm really interested to see what they can do when the ABV gets on the naughty side of 10.
I do feel, though, the ball, this has warmed up a little bit. It's starting to taste more like a pilsner now. I
think you get more bread.
Definitely coming through. I did just take this. I have just rushed home and taken this straight out of the like cold fridge and put it straight in the glass.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's coming through. I think like it did start off a little bit like IPA, but yeah, it's starting to come through and I was just warming. It's on the nose. It's there, but it's like a little bit of like orange as well coming through now. Really good.
Very, what very hops good. Did you say were in it?
Columbus and Equinox.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the Columbus makes sense with the kind of West Coast leaning tinge on it.
Yeah, definitely.
Honestly, Equinox, another one that I couldn't tell you what it tasted like with a gun to my head.
No.
But what does Equinox taste like? Hops. I don't know.
I have just looked on the question, and it looks like I think this is the third Pilsner they've done, and the other two are German Pilsners that they've done.
Wow. So this is their first like heavily hopped Pilsner.
Yeah. So they did a German Pilsner called True Love Waits back in 2016. And then in 2019, they did a German Pilsner called Blue Ghosts.
Jesus. Well, I mean, I haven't had the others, but definitely third time lucky because there's bangs.
Yeah. And I mean, like off the back of this, though, how good is that Don Zocco going to be as well?
Yeah, insane. What do you think about the style of like, you know, you hear them called West Coast Pils or... Yeah, there are tons of names to them, but these like really heavily hopped lagers. What's your view on them?
Why not? Like,
yeah.
I mean, like, I totally get that people are traditionalists and that, but I think like we've seen everything now. If you can put cheesecake in a beer, then why not a lager? Like, yeah, you know,
it's way less outrageous than like what people are doing with stuff. Like everything else.
I mean, look at Colonel. Colonel do it. Like they when I was on the Bermondsey Mile like the last weekend, then I had single hop Strata Pilsner.
Yeah.
Just banging, like incredible.
Of course,
like
Colonel
have been doing it a long time. Like they actually like changing up the flavors of the Pilsners and the lagers by just putting a single hop. And I think that's just clever. Like, why not? Why not mess around with it? And it gives you the true flavor of the hops a lot of the time when it's in that lager base.
What's really interesting is that I was watching a few videos on like the history of really traditional styles, and you see people doing pills with like Brettanomyces in it, and that seems really innovative. But originally, a lot of beers would have had Brett in them because breweries didn't have the ability to sterilize and to keep things in, you know, completely clean conditions in the way that we do now. So Brett would have got into things, and it's like, this isn't innovative per se. This is like a return to how things would have been.
It didn't Dea. I'm sure Dea did a Brett pill.
Yeah. And Colonel, I've got one.
Yeah.
The Dea one is brilliant.
Yeah. I thought they did a, I don't remember what hops was in it, but I'm sure I bought the Brett pills from Dea. It comes in a little bottle.
They do it in cans now.
Oh, in cans.
Yeah, I've had the can one.
Fair. But no, I think like overall, like on the back of this, that was, very good. I'm happy with that. I wish I'd have bought another can, to be honest, because I've absolutely wolfed that down in space of a few minutes.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I'm splitting my can with my other half because she is a lager fanatic. But I wish I had more of that. Honestly, it's so good.
If when I'm looking at my next order, there's some available, I will be getting some more of that because
it lasts.
Yeah,
it lasts better than hazies. It lasts better than most things, really.
That's it. I mean, that for me would have been, I mean, it's autumn now, but that would have been stunning in the summer.
Wow, yeah.
When we had those red hot days, if I'd have known that it was that good and that they got released this summer, if Whiplash,
if that was out in July,
if Whiplash do ever listen to this, please release this again next year and for the summertime. But are we going to, do you want to take a little pause while we open the next beer?
I think so, yeah. We'll be back in a second, folks, with beer number two. Okay, folks, we're back with beer number two. And I've had this one in the fridge for about a week. Been really excited to try it after trying everything else in this series so far. I think even the tipper, which is quite rare for me because I don't really go in on those too hard. But this is Smug, the Reincarnation by Northern Monk and Garage Project.
Yep.
So this is an 8% dipper with Nelson Sauvin, Motueka, Citra, Idaho 7, and Phantasm.
Yeah.
So Phantasm is, I think, a product made from grape, like white grape must. Is that right?
Yeah, I was going to actually see if you knew what this was, and I looked.
It's an adjunct, so adjunct in an IPA, red flag.
Yeah,
but so it was developed by Garage Project originally. So I listened to there's a really good episode of the Craft Beer and Brewing podcast where they talk to the owner of Garage Project about the invention of the Phantasm product, thialized hops, you know, all the like super geeky stuff that I really enjoy, but you know, I'm sure it's kind of beyond the interest of most people. When Phantasm first came out, I had a beer with it and it sucked and it really put me off it. But I don't think it was the Phantasm that made that beer bad. I'm not going to name the beer or the brewery because I think it was just an oxidized mess and not how they wanted it to turn out. So I was really put off Phantasm for ages, like rejected it entirely. Did not know it was in this until I poured it. Probably wouldn't have bought it if I knew. But having taken a sip of this, pretty good.
Good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good.
I mean, like for me, the hot bill alarm about the Phantasm, like I don't think I knew that was in it. I'm the same as you. I've had every beer so far in this range. And for me, like I'm a big fan of Patreon's projects. I mean, we know about Northern Monk, you know, they're one of the flagships of the scene. You know, when the founders are, like, when it all kicked off, they were there, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They were high.
A lot of breweries who are successful in 2022 owe a lot to Northern Monk a few years ago, I think. I think they inspired a lot of the craft scene today, like Cloudwater, like Verdant, like a lot of the other stalwarts.
100%. I mean, you're looking with like all the Patreon projects, the majority of them always have someone along. You know, and what they do for this, like all the local art, it's artists and graphic designers and tattooists, and you know, it's just a clever project. It works, and then they bring this range along. And like for me, with the kind of gothic scene, I'm like, that got my attention. And I was like, all right, what's this? And from the word go, they've all been fantastic. Like this one's, it's different. And I don't know if I could drink more than one in it after another. Like the white wine is vibe on it is massive. That aftertaste is pure white wine.
It's grapier than any. It's like a grape lambic level of wininess, of like Venus character.
Do you think it's boozy?
No.
I think
the grape masks what would otherwise be booze. By the way, I've just had a hilarious message. So I just, as I said in the first half of the podcast, I split the lager with my other half, who loves lager, doesn't necessarily love hops. And I just dropped her a text because I'm recording in the kitchen. So she's kind of banned from the space for a minute, saying, do you want the lager? They're on the outside fridge. And she responded with, is it nicer than the last one? Laughing face. So I think it might be a little bit divisive if you're really kind of purist on lager.
Fair enough. That's fair. It's fair comment, isn't it?
Yeah. It was like the Whiplash one was, it was hoppy. I loved it, but I can see why if all you ever drink is something like Rothhaus, then it probably is going to be a little bit beyond your sensitivity for hops. But anyway, this one.
It's all right, mate. Like, on this, do you know what? Like, usually, I can tell a Northern Monk beer as well, especially an IPA, on the taste or the smell. And it doesn't have that usual Northern Monk like smell or taste, which is odd for them.
That tastes like what? That's for me. It's like an other half Phantasm beer because I've had one of them that I enjoyed.
You know what? It does have that feel though. Like that is so smooth, smooth.
It's insane,
guys. I mean, like I said before, that hop bill. You know, in Nelson and Motueka, them two hops combined, and then when you're adding Citra and Idaho into all that mix, that's like,
yeah,
that's one of the king combos, and they've nailed that. Like,
well, I mean, Citra and Nelson, you're always going to love it. We know that's your favorite. Motueka, you like as well because Southern Hemisphere. Idaho 7, again, like, I couldn't pin down a flavor profile on it, but I can't say that I dislike it.
No, it's, I don't really know. Like, yeah, it's just really good. I don't know. It's not what I expected. I think that's where it was. It's not what I expected it to taste like. Is it better than what I thought? I don't know. I think it's just different to what I thought it was going to taste like.
But again, this comes back to what we were discussing on the last episode about what do we really value in a beer? Is it something that matches your expectations or is it a novel experience?
Yeah.
And for me, something that I didn't expect that's good is always going to have more of an impact than something that's exactly as good as I expected it to be. This, you know, having poured it in Red Phantasm, it was like my heart sunk immediately because I was like, oh, is it going to be like a sweet mess? It's not. It's way drier than I'd have expected, which I like.
I like
the good hops.
But every time I have a mouthful, I feel like I need to have another mouthful. It's like drinking. It's like the thing where people, the sailors were out and they said, don't drink the sea because it's salt water. And you have to drink it and then keep drinking. Yeah. And it's like, it's not salty, I'm not saying that, but it makes you go, oh yeah, my mouth's a bit dry now. I need a little bit more.
Oh yeah, it's like, it's juicy and then it immediately evaporates.
Yeah. Like a dipper version of absinthe.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure how they feel about that, but sure. I mean, to use a word that you used a lot in the last episode, and I totally agree with, this is clever.
Yeah.
It is clever.
But then, yeah, I did you only just realise when you poured it, just this moment they had that in it?
Yeah. I didn't pay any attention to what was in it. I bought it on the merit of the other smug beers. And also, just, you know, harking back to the conversation we had about can art.
Yeah.
Does it get better than this? I'm not sure.
I wrote down, like, on my notes, this is the best looking Patreon's project they've ever done.
Is that
in my view?
There was one of the whale ones that I really, really loved. one of the whale ones and the first Inza, because the first Inza I saw, you know, like you've never seen that pattern before. It's like Paisley on heroin. Whereas, but this nowadays, it's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's stunning. It's stunning.
It's like a video game cutscene.
Yeah, I mean, what is it? The whole series for me. I mean, I did a little thing as well. I read up on the smoke. Obviously, it's inside the can anyway. It tells you how to buy it. But yeah, he's just a street artist from Australia, lives in Scotland now, and some of the stuff. He does a lot of stuff on like nature and life and death. And Northern Monk have obviously chose the death route. Yeah.
And this that's a big theme for them, isn't it?
Yeah, massive. Life and death. Like they have the two big
faith, life, and death. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is number six, and the patrons projects end at 7. So the next one has got, I have no idea what the, how do they do? Ooh. What do they do? They've not done a quadruple, I don't know, have they?
It's called IPA or Stout, isn't it? It's got to be.
I know the whole series is yellow. I know that.
Oh, yeah, okay, it's fine. I mean, they've done a tip already, so they've got a quad. And I've never knowingly bought a quad IPA, but I would probably buy that.
Yeah.
It says quite a lot. For the series, for the brewery, for the artist, I'd buy it for the art, just to look at it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, I think I had the Northern Monk Quad, one of the old OFS projects before they went down the route of the country themes, and that was bonkers. It was one of the best UK quad. I don't think we have many over here. But yeah, there's some quads. And then the North Park one that I had a year ago called Snake Park, which is probably the most terrifying beer I've had of all time. Like a 13% quadruple dry hopped quadruple IPA.
Jesus. I was like,
it drank like 6% beer and it was 13%. It was terrifying.
Yeah, that's one of those doors that I don't want to open. I don't want to discover that I like that.
Yeah, it was.
But I mean, that just seems like a slippery slope to desolation, doesn't it?
There's no need, is there? There's no need. I mean, I am kind of glad that we've got over the year of the tipper, because that went on for too long.
It was 2 years of the year of the tipper, wasn't it?
It was bonkers. And it was all off the back of a couple of triple IPAs, and then every brewery went, we're doing them. And then you even...
But it wasn't just me too. It was an arms race. It was like, who can make the strongest beer taste like the weakest beer?
It was just stupid. Like, I mean, I remember we did an episode a long, long, long time ago with Pressure Drop. And they even said on the podcast, we will never buy into that trend. We will never do a triple IPA. A year later, Pressure Drop, we're doing our first triple IPA.
That statement aged poorly, didn't it? Yeah, but Verdant said the same back in the day, and they've done it this year.
So obviously, thing was a long time coming. I think it had to happen. But the fact that every new release, I remember at one point, I was going and buying some cans, and I was having a look, and I was in the fridges, and I was like, how the hell, why is everything 10%? It was a weird time.
I liked tippers when tippers were rare, because it was novel. Whereas when it almost became the norm for a while, and I was like, what is happening? 100% Why can I not get anything single figure ABV?
100% agree. It got to the point where when the first kit came around, you were like, wow. You know, and I remember having a monster, the monster IPA from North, and Jesus. How you say it, the Dutch brewery, and I'm like, I only bought that to see how drunk I'd get off one can. I was like, but then you look back and go,
spoiler alert, very,
very. But then every single brewery just decided to go, right, do you want a triple IPA, triple IPA, triple IPA? But I'm quite happy that it's calmed down now. They are coming up back to going novel. But yeah, on going back on that, the 7th release of the Smug Patrons Project. It can't be anything but hell. It has to be something, unless they flip it up and do some sort of stout. But from what I gather and reading it, it's just going to be yellow.
I mean, from what I can tell from the label, this double IPA is already triple dry hopped.
Yeah.
So they're kind of pushing the hop saturation to the limit. I'm not really sure how much further they can push it without going higher in ABV. What's really interesting about this is that they talk about thiols. I encourage anyone who's got this, peel the label back and have a look at what they say about thiols, and also listen to that Garage Project episode of Craft Beer and Brewing. So thiols seem to be this weird, like, transformative flavor compound, and they've even picked a specific yeast that seems to accentuate thiol activity. I have no idea. I don't know what that means, but what I know is that this beer is very, very good. It's really shattered my preconceptions of what Phantasm is all about.
That's good though.
It is.
So you'll maybe, like, the first beer you had was like one of the earliest, the like kind of early days of it. So maybe you
would. No, it was nothing to do with the Phantasm. The brewery, I think, had a canning issue. There was some oxidization at play, which meant that it was like way too sweet. Just way too sweet. It was like cardboardy wet sweetness. But, you know, at the time I was seeing other people posting pictures of this beer that looked it hadn't gone like dark brown. It didn't look oxidized.
Yeah.
But I attributed what was wrong with it to the Phantasm incorrectly. So I'm gonna reverse my position on this one. Phantasm is good. Great must from Sauvignon Blanc grapes.
Just looking back at the smugs as well, out of the six beers that they've released, three of them have been triple IPAs. Three double IPAs.
You know what would be really good? Do a triple dry hopped pale ale. Give me a smug table beer.
As the number seven, just to turn everyone off. It's going to be a quadruple IPA because it'd have done three dippers and three triple IPAs. So it's going to be, it has to be. Because everyone goes all out on the last one. That's usually the case.
Yeah, they do. They do. Understandably. You know, you want to go out with a bang, not a fizz.
This one's been quite a fast one as well. Like, I think the one with the whale he was mentioning, the James Butler collab.
Aren't they bringing that back?
That's the, no, that's, I see the something about that? It's the seventh one. I thought they'd done it already, the seventh, which is really strange. But this is a collab with Vitamin C and Finback.
I mean, yeah, sell it to me harder. That is a winning combination.
The Smug series seems to have been fired out very, very quickly in comparison to like other Nova Monk kind of patrons projects. Some of them take a long time. Like, if you look at the main one with Tank Petrol, that went on for years. And I think the Smug series has come out as just basically being there and gone instantly. Like, it's not taking them long to fire out the whole lot.
Is it like a year?
I think it is. I mean, I don't think it's taken them that long to get to actually knock through the whole lot, which is remarkable, really. There must be some reason behind it. Maybe they've got a lot of hops to get through and just said...
A lot of Phantasm.
Yeah.
Got a load of Phantasm stored up. Yeah, no. Yeah, I don't know really much about the kind of lore of the series and how long they typically last, but I do recall a load of these coming out in fairly quick succession.
Very, very quick. But, no, I think like on the end of like that one, yeah, I mean, that's stunning. Very, very good beer. It's just, you know, it's juicy, dry. It doesn't taste boozy for its 8%. And it's a stunning looking beer, isn't it? Like the actual beer itself as well, along with the can art, it's a full premium product. So
I've got to give it to them. If I don't think they are struggling for relevance because they've got their market, but if they were to make a play for a top nine beer, this would be a good entry, I think.
Yeah, it's out there. I mean, once you take away all the cloud water and verdant hype out of the way,
and Rivington and all the other high beasts,
it's one of those ones that you just forget. Just looking, the first one was released on the 5th of April 2021,
so that is quick.
Yeah, it's so like, so they've released the six beers in around 16, 17 months.
So, I mean, yeah, it's great. I'm sure that a lot of people listening to this podcast will try this beer. Probably more than we'll try the Whiplash. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, it's 100% fair. Because people are crazy for high ABVs. So
high ABV, Northern Monk, really good patrons projects with great artwork. It's like,
yeah,
it's all the boxes.
And that hop combo. I mean,
Phantasm.
People probably should, go out and buy it. I mean, like, yeah, it's fantastic. That'd be really good.
I would say, you know, of the two, it's kind of hard to compare them, isn't it? Of the Whiplash and the Northern Monk, they're so different. It is apples and oranges. I would actually say the Whiplash surprised me the most, honestly, because the first few sips when it was ice cold did taste like Pliny with the level of resinousness. But the Northern Monk is show-stoppingly good, just quality-wise. But I expected that from the series.
I mean, if we were going to go old school, we would still be recording this for another 2 hours and drinking six more beers. But with this being called the session series, we are only doing two beers.
Yeah.
I don't really think they're both quality. They're both fantastic. It's a good way to start Friday afternoon, Friday night, because I mean, that's when we're recording. But yeah.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed both of them. They're both brilliant.
So, at whatever point you listen to this, strongly encourage you to get Witness by Whiplash, the dry hop pills. It's a Pliny clone pilsner at 5.5% and that Northern Monk, you've probably already got it in your fridge, so I don't really feel like I need to encourage you at all.
But I think, like, once you listen to this, if you have had either of them, you know, obviously comment on the post that we'll put up, and I think we'd both love to hear your views. I think I'd prefer to view people's views on the Whiplash rather than Northern Monk, because we know what we'll be getting from the Northern Monk.
Yeah.
And it'd be really good to see if people have picked this up. I think it will be quite popular because, you know, it's still a US collab and people still buy the collabs like I have done and love Finback. So seeing a Finback, and especially because it's a lager, people might be like, you know, let's go for it. It'd be very interesting if, you know, people have picked it up to hear like feedback on this beer.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to hear what people think of this. Lager fanatics, IPA fanatics alike, I think there's kind of something for everyone on that one. But then again, that might make it divisive. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, this has been a really good little quick episode on a Friday. Hope you enjoy listening to it. Yeah, I've enjoyed it too. But yeah, hope you enjoy listening to it. Let us know what you think of both the beers. And we'll catch you next time.
Thank you.